www.opalmag.org.
Legends say the opal holds lightning trapped within its heart, a stone of mystery, once feared but long cherished for its beauty and magic, especially for those with October birthdays. This October, celebrate your own legend with glowing fire opals or shimmering white opals in timeless designs crafted to enchant. Dare to wear the magic of opal from Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main, and online at LegacyDiamondGems.com, where every piece tells a story.
Wyoming winters don't ask for permission. They just show up with snow, ice, and wind that finds every weak spot in your roof. Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors knows Wyoming weather, and we will make sure your home is ready before the worst of it arrives. With metal roofs, impact-resistant shingles, built to withstand Wyoming weather. Plus, we work with your insurance company to take the hassle out of your hands. Your home is protected when it matters most. Call us today for your free inspection or visit Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Get ready to get your honky-tonk on. Come and support Valor Academy's largest, most exciting event of this year. It's our fourth annual Barn Dance and Chili Cook-Off fundraising event. All community members are invited for live music, dancing, and family fun. Saturday, October 18th from 5 to 9 at the Sheridan County Fairgrounds. Get tickets at the door or online at valorsheridan.org. For more information, call 307-218-0005.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Monday, October 13th. And from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. Joining me this morning are Sheridan County Chamber of Commerce Chief Executive Officer Teresa Dedimore, Leadership Sheridan County Steering Committee Chair Allison Meacham, and Manufacturing Works Assistant Director Tyler O'Daniel. Good morning, and welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
All right. Now, Teresa, we're just going to jump right in here. Let's start with a quick overview of what's been going on at the Chamber this week.
Well, technically, today our office is closed. So if you need something, don't come in, because we're not there. But you can certainly call, leave a voicemail. You can shoot us an email. We were just talking about that. Text if you need to. If you need something today, just let us know. But our office is closed down. We have a lot going on, though. We have board meeting this week. We have business after hours going on this week. October is a busy, fun month with all of our registrations coming through and programming. So it's great.
It's kind of the setup month for the fall, isn't it? It's kind of a launching pad month. Get everything ready to fall into fall and then jump into winter.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that we skip fall because we're so busy that all of a sudden we wake up and it's like, and there's snow on the ground. What just happened?
Snow outside. I'm not looking forward to those days. Switching gears, Allison, I want to congratulate the 2025 Leadership Sheridan County graduates. That's amazing.
Yes, thank you.
How did the program wrap up this year?
It was great. We just always have such a good group of participants. We had 21 that graduated the program this year. It's fun. For me, I get to kind of pop in and out throughout the year with some of their modules and see just what they're learning, how they've maybe developed even, and you know how they share with the class and everything. So yeah, it was really great.
What's the level of participation look like in those modules?
You know, it kind of varies every month, but the basic setup is that we start the program in January with a retreat. So that's very interactive. It's an opportunity for them to get to know each other. Stacia Skredeberg does that, and she is just amazing at getting them all to learn more about one another, honestly learn about themselves, and just set them up for a great year together. And then in February, the group goes to Cheyenne, gets the opportunity to learn about the state legislature. And again, that's an overnight trip, so they do get to spend some time together. That's kind of where a lot of the initial friendships and bonds are made. And then the rest of the year is monthly, like full day modules. So they, each one has a specific topic, and they'll start typically in the morning with 2 hours of leadership training from Stacia. That's, you know, fairly interactive. They do small group activities, things like that. And then the rest of the day is normally spent visiting businesses, organizations in Sheridan, learning whatever the topic is, visiting with panels and things like that. So it really is interactive in kind of a variety of ways.
Now, all of the modules and the courses have a definite reason for being. They're all necessary. But if you were to sit here and say, my favorite, or the one that I think people take the most from is...
Oh, gosh, that's hard. From the leadership portion specifically, it's actually different now from when I went through the course. So Station, Peak Consulting have kind of created this program. The one that comes to mind that I always think of and I think people talk about is the crucial conversations topic. You know, just kind of equipping people with the tools to have conversations at work, you know, with the manager, with people that work for them, but also applies outside of their jobs most often.
What does this really teach? Like, is it like a sort of articulation to sit down and be able to properly present an idea in the shortest amount of time possible, or be able to have hard conversations with individuals in leadership positions?
I think it's probably more like the hard, difficult conversations, things that, I don't know, might stress people out or, you know, take some prepping to gear yourself up for.
I managed a restaurant when I was just 19 years old, and I can remember having to fire someone for the first time. And that wore on me so badly. It's what helped kind of drive me out of the business.
Yeah.
I just couldn't imagine being that guy in that person's life.
Right.
But it had to happen. Unfortunately, things like that in business have to happen. And it's, you know, they don't call it the burden of leadership for nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
Chief Travis Koltiska from the Sheridan Police Department actually spoke at the luncheon about the leadership and team building. What part of that message stuck out to you the most?
Yeah, so unfortunately, I actually had to miss the graduation and the lunch this year, which was a really bummer. I was participating in a leadership event that my company was having. So that was cool for me, but I did hear, you know, several of my coworkers went, and of course the chamber members and stuff. So they had talked about Travis just speaking on being a true leader, utilizing people's strengths and things like that. So it sounds like it was a great message, and I know I missed that.
Man, we talk about a position that comes with the burden of leadership.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably one of the toughest jobs in the city, in any city.
Yeah.
To be the chief of a police force.
And he's really figured out how to bring his team together.
Oh, yeah.
And how he talked about even their own hiring processes and your values and how you get the team you need to function the way you have to, especially with the police department. So it was really good.
You know,
he did a great job.
We've spoke on their hiring process multiple times on this show. And the idea of quality over quantity, you know, I'm not going to fill a position just to have a number in there. I think it really has paid off. We got a great police force with some individuals of high character who are willing and ready to do the right thing no matter what. Teresa, can you tell listeners when applications for the 2026 class are available?
They're available right now, and get that in by the 31st. We have it open for an entire month. It opened on October 1. It'll close the 31st. Even send it to me at 5 p.m. on the 31st. It'll still count. Just not at 8 a.m. on the 1st.
Now, where can people find these applications and learn a little bit more about them?
On our website. There is a whole page for Leadership Sheridan County. You can download the application right there. Or if you want to stop in and talk, any of our staff members can talk to you about the program. They're all graduates except for Kelly. She's hopefully going to do it. We'll put her name in for this year. See if the committee takes her.
There you go, Kelly. Heads up.
I know. She's like, am I doing that? Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing it.
So, yeah, you can talk to any one of us. Or if you know of a graduate and have some questions for them on their personal experience, have that. It's a great program. This is one of my favorite we get to do.
I think that's probably one of the best opportunities. One of my friends actually attended. And I drilled him a little bit over dinner just about, like, you know, hey, what's it really like? And boy, he loved it.
Yeah.
And he considers it to be one of the most valuable courses that he's ever taken.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it's absolutely valuable, folks.
So you're putting an application in? That's what I hear.
You know, it's one of those situations where I wonder, because it is a time commitment, which is something that I would like to talk about just a little bit. Allison, how long does each module go per night? What is the time commitment?
Yeah, so it's essentially a full day per month from January through October. Plus, the trip to Cheyenne is 2 days. So we typically leave first thing, like 6 a.m. And, you know, one day, make it down to Cheyenne, do as much as we can, stay the night, fill a day the next day, and then come home that evening. So the 2 day trip is kind of the biggest commitment. But the rest of the time, they're usually run from about 7:30 to like 4:30 or 5. So a typical work day for most people. And that's once a month.
Are there homework assignments?
There are some things I think that Stacia encourages them to do ahead of the discussions, but I think it's fairly light burden.
Yeah, a lot of times it's watching a video or something that's going to go with the curriculum that she's going to be presenting. So really, you can do that whenever it works for you. Sometimes with the crucial conversations, she'll invite you to find somebody you know and practice. And she's like, if you can't do it with somebody you know, you got to get used to just saying the words and the verbiage. She's very good about teaching you what to say where you're not poking a matter, you know, where you're direct, but you're very gentle. And so she's like, you got to practice this because it doesn't come out spur of the moment.
Yeah.
You
gotta.
It almost sounds like there's a little bit of mediation course in here, sitting down. Because, I mean, you know, hey, making peace is a huge part of leadership. And sometimes you got to make peace between yourself and someone else. And sometimes it's between two employees or people under your leadership that you got to, you know, get them to put the spikes down. Now, Allison, how many participants usually make up an entire class? And what does the selection process look like? Because I think every year you get more applications than what you can fit.
Yes. So for the past several years, we aim for 22 in each class. I think we'd love to take more than that, but that's kind of the ideal number for, you know, visiting businesses, doing some tours, just kind of the logistics of things, really.
Too many times, number 23 was off in the corner.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
You're like, you know what? 22's enough.
Yeah. But we also, like you mentioned, have had, every year we've had more applicants than the number of spots available. So it does come to the committee, and it is something that we really take a lot of time and intention to make the selections for the class. So as Teresa mentioned, you submit your application by the end of this month. And that the application has about 4 like essay type questions. And so the committee all receives those. They are shown to us as anonymous as possible. You know, sometimes people kind of say what they do or where they work and things. But we each individually go through those, look at all the questions, and kind of give a rating or a ranking of like how we think they've answered the questions and everything. And that's just a starting point for us as the committee to then come together and say, okay, you know, this is what we're looking at. And then there's a ton of other factors that come into it. That really is just the starting point. So we consider, I don't know, any number of things, you know, where they work, what kind of industry they're in, if they've applied before or not, what their background is with leadership training and things like that. We try to get as diverse of a group as we can, I think, you know, and have a good amount of men and women and for-profit and non-profit organizations. And we consider, you know, if you're a chamber member and a chamber
community partner,
thank you, things like that. So it's definitely a time-consuming and thoughtful process, I would say.
Yeah.
And with that being said, we do encourage people to also put a lot of thought into the answers they give us and how they fill out their application.
And this is a heck of a course. I mean, there's a lot of professional development that comes from this. So, a lot of people are going to end up wanting to kind of be a part of it. If individuals have applied in the past and they weren't involved in that course, do they apply again or can they?
Yes, absolutely. We would love for them to apply again. We tried to really encourage that. And when we unfortunately do have to tell some people, you know, that you're not going to be in this year's class, we might be able to give them feedback or just talk to them about like, hey, we'd love to see you apply again. You know, think about this next time.
We just had too many this year.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to individuals who've gone through it, what kinds of professional or personal growth do participants typically see after completing the course itself?
I think it's different for every person and the position that they're in. You know, I've had people tell me that it most applies to their work life and, you know, they feel more equipped to take on leadership roles, or if they're already in a management position, potentially they can just, you know, be better off in that role. Some people aren't in a management position, but they now understand that they can still be a leader in their job and in their business. Other people, it really is helpful for them outside of work, you know, if they're involved in
getting the kids up.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. How do you have a crucial conversation with your toddler?
Breakfast is 7:15, whether you want it to be or not.
Yes, that's right. And then another aspect of the program that I think is really valuable for people is just the networking. Yeah. You know, a lot of friendships are formed, but it's also a great way for people to just know more about the community, to know more about what's out there. People might be encouraged to volunteer in an organization. Yeah. They learn about organizations that they have never heard of or never knew that it was out there. So
they could find the cause
that
they've kind of been looking for. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's one thing that I've learned is individuals, they may not be super involved in the community until they find that one organization that really, you know, does something that affects their heart and they want to get involved, and all of a sudden they find a new passion in life.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to see. One more time. I do have to take a quick commercial break, but before we go, could we get, again, where do I find these applications? How do
go
I
to
apply?
Go to the Chamber website or stop in and talk to us and we'll get the application right there.
All right. On that, we're going to have more with our Sheridan County Chamber of Commerce right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE. 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Put on your Sunday clothes. There's lots of world out there.
Well, hello, Sheridan. Dolly Levi here, matchmaker, hat shop habitue, and now premier party planner. Canapes and specialty cocktails await at the 2025 YO premiere of Hello Dolly, Saturday, October 18th. I can't wait to see the gowns, hats, and splendid get-ups our guests will wear for the occasion.
Cocktails and costumes? Sounds extravagant.
Oh, Horace, don't be such a penny pincher. The music sparkles, the dancing delights, and the hats. Well, I approve of every single one. It's the perfect night out.
And if you can't make the premiere, encore performances run October 19th and October 23rd through 26th.
Well, maybe I'll let Dolly arrange one more thing. My seat.
Reserve your tickets today at yotheater.com. Hello, Dolly opens October 18th with performances through October 26th. Sheridan, come dressed to impress. Dolly's watching.
Local news on the radio keeps you in the know. Right where you live.
Memorandum of Understanding between Sheridan County and the City of Sheridan outlines the responsibilities of the two jurisdictions.
It's your neighborhood, your community, and your news.
2025 Johnson County Fair and Rodeo in Buffalo will kick off today and will run through Sunday.
From Sheridan and Johnson County to statewide education updates.
The department says statewide performance in all three tested content areas increased by 1 to 3% over the last school year.
And scam warnings straight from local law enforcement.
Sheriff Dominguez has made scam awareness a priority during his appearances on Sheridan Media's Public Pulse.
Sheridan Media brings local news straight to you, fast, familiar, and right on time. Because what happens here matters.
Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, We're laughing with Sheridan County Chamber of Commerce Chief Executive Officer Teresa Dettymore, Leadership Sheridan County Steering Committee Chair Allison Meacham, and Manufacturing Works Assistant Director Tyler O'Daniel. Tyler, October is Manufacturing Month. Teresa and I spoke at length about why it was made a month, which I think is fantastic. It gives a lot of people a lot of different opportunities to kind of peek behind the curtain in our manufacturing facilities around here. What's the overall goal of the initiative, though?
Yeah, so this initiative is actually a national event of sorts. And so depending on where you're at, sometimes this is a day event, sometimes it's a week event, and like Sheridan, and I'm biased, but I think it's the best event of all of them, span over a whole month. And the idea is really to try to bridge the gap between the upcoming talent pipeline and the opportunities within the manufacturing industry. And so for Sheridan, we've got a handful of different manufacturers. You can go to the Sheridan or the Chamber website and find the full calendar of every tour that's going to be going on. But what it looks like is within Wyoming, I'd say we have about 50 to 60 different manufacturers participating in this event. And depending on what community you're in, you can go see a tour if you're a community member, or if you're part of a school or kind of growing up and you're just interested in that industry, go out, reach out, and kind of start seeing what some of those opportunities are.
I think that's fantastic. And it's something that we haven't touched on before, Teresa. I really like this month, but I never once thought, well, is it going on through the whole state?
Oh.
So, yeah. Like, if there's a manufacturer that's not in the county, but we like the widget that they're making or we get curious, can we touch base with other Chamber of Commerces and be like, you know, I take a drive to look at this manufacturer? I think that would be really fun. Maybe that's something I should look into. Now, when it comes to those who have partnered with us, is there anybody new this year, Teresa?
I don't think we have any new ones this year, but there's some newer business, like Wentland Manufacturing is participating, and they're newer, about 2-3 years old, I think. So that's a fun one to go see if you haven't yet, and just how much these businesses change on a daily basis, what they're doing. So it's never the same tour, and you get to see. So it's always worth it to go and see what they're working on.
Tyler, one reason why I love the month-long extension, and something that Teresa brought up in the last show, was getting the kids in there, you know, having opportunities to get those classes through there so that they could see opportunities that are afforded to them right here in Sheridan County. Have you been able to attend any of those with the classes themselves and kind of see how those kids are reacting?
I have in the past. So this year I haven't been able to. We've been a little bit swamped on some other things. But yes, in the past, it's really fascinating because when you're a student and you're kind of just you're looking at everything, you're a sponge at that point. And a lot of this stuff is so brand new to them.
Yeah.
And for an example, I think one of the first ones I attended that I saw a class having a tour was King's Ropes and how a rope was actually made. And just some of the data behind where those ropes go once they leave Sheridan. And it's not just in Wyoming, it's not just nationally, but these are international exports as well. And so watching students just kind of see how big this industry is and the opportunity within it is, it's really fun to watch.
My dad got a king rope, and boy, he was super proud of that thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, go get the king rope. You know? That's how you knew the business had to get done right now. Now, what kind of job opportunities do exist in modern manufacturing for our local residents?
Yeah, so it's very broad. You, if you're interested in kind of the minutiae, the engineering type stuff, there's tons of openings for that. If you're looking more at administration and management, there's openings for that. If you want to go into product design or just kind of sit in a think tank room all day and try and come up with new creations, there's jobs for that.
Wow.
And so if you're an innovator, I'd say it's a great place to be. If you're an engineer, it's a great place to be. And if you're just in business in general, it's a great place to be.
You know, on the show, I'm constantly kind of touting the arts and performance arts here in Sheridan County. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to be able to touch base on the engineers, the individuals who do sit in a room and just innovate all day long. I'd love to have some of them on the show. You know, how do you come up with this new stuff? They always used to say, you know, find a need, fill a need, right? That's the best way to try and kind of invent something new. So I think it would be great to have everybody in here and just kind of discussing, how does Sheridan invent new products? I think that'd be a great show. Now, Teresa, where can listeners find a full schedule of tours? And
go to our website for sure. So we have had some changes to some of the tours that are on the printed copy. So okay. Make sure you double check that website. Jody put everything on the community calendar that we share with Sheridan Media, Sheridan County Travel and Tourism, Sheridan Press. So just double check either the community calendar or get online. We have them all printed out there as well if you want to print an actual schedule. Jody's keeping that one updated.
Tyler, what is your personal favorite part about Manufacturing Month?
I'd say just the recognition of the manufacturing industry. I think it gets really easy to go to the store, or get online, and just find whatever you're looking for and mm-hmm. buy it. And it's out of sight, out of mind. You have no idea how that thing came to exist. And for me personally, cell phones, I think, are just so fascinating, because 20 years ago, what we did have for a cell phone compared to now, the technology behind making that cell phone is very fascinating. And just a microprocessor, for example, how they create that, it's very technical. And the fact that we all have these just in our pockets, I think we take it for granted, because it's an art that they've created, something as precise as what has been created.
Oh, absolutely. It's a modern miracle. You've got a computer in your pocket yep. everywhere you go. You know, mm-hmm. I've joked around about the math teacher said, you're not going to have a calculator in your pocket for this. I got more than that, teach. You know right. what I mean? I got everything down there. It's amazing. But it really is. And you're right. It's a modern miracle. I got a buddy who works out at Micron over in Idaho. And that's what he does. He sits around and he makes microprocessors all day. What a fascinating job. He was always kind of that kid growing up, too. We knew where Tony would end up. Now, let's talk about some Christmas strolls, switching gears on you. How can businesses still register? Are we done with that yet?
Oh, no, absolutely. You can register. So give us a call, or you can do online again. We try to keep everything on our website so it's easy for everybody. But you can do that, or you can give us a call, stop on in. You have through about October 20th. And then if you haven't registered yet, you'll get a phone call from me saying, are you doing this yet? Just to make sure, because we don't want to miss anybody. And we have to be that early because of the Black Friday ad that's going to come out with the entire list of businesses. We want to make sure that we have your business listed on there as participating.
Okay. Now, I'm running out of time with it, but there's a couple different things that I want to make sure people know. It's happening. Tell us a little bit more about the stroll button presentation with the mayor next month.
Yes, it's going to be so much fun. We get to present, and the winner does not know yet. Her parents are keeping it a secret.
Oh, that's great.
Until we get there, so this is going to be so fun. And then that will be at 4:00 on that Monday, so we can get to see what the whole presentation and present, and then they will go on sale on November 1st.
Which Monday?
October 20th.
Okay, October 20th. Now, we've talked about sponsorships. Can we touch on Operation Greenlight just really fast?
So this is a community event that the Chamber is participating on. The city is actually heading this up. It's the awareness for veterans and some of the things that they need, special support. And so they're doing a kickoff event on November 1st as well, just with resources available. And they want everyone in the community to put in a green light to show their support for veterans.
I've had one in my porch light since this began last year, and it's remained there.
So was Tom Craft at Legacy Diamond and Gem. He never took it out.
Never take it down.
I love it.
That's absolutely, it's a candle in the window.
Yep.
For those who need it. Real quick, before we close today, business after hours and business before hours. When are those happening?
This Wednesday, come on out to Sheridan College. They're going to do some tours of their tech center so people can see that. So it'll be the 15th from 5 to 7, and then November 5th. I was going to say the 1st.
Okay, all right, you're on it.
I got it, Jody. We're good. November 5th is going to be at Compass, so come on out.
Thank you, Jody. Thank you, Jody. You came through for us. I want to thank all of you for coming on the show this morning. We had some great laughs. It's great to see you guys. I look forward to seeing you both next year as well.
Thank you.
All right, when we return, we're going to speak with the Downtown Sheridan Association. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE. And 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Mandy Kolciska from Century 21 BHJ Realty brings you this Pet of the Week from the Dog and Cat Shelter. Five-year-old Boogie needs a little time to develop trust, but once he does, he'll melt right into your heart. He adores sunbathing and absolutely loves squeaky toys. Come and meet Boogie today. Four-year-old Pico wants to climb in your lap and cuddle. This girl loves food and gets along well with other children, other cats, and small dogs. Pico's waiting to meet you at the Dog and Cat Shelter.
Hi, I'm Lisa Hansen with MC2 Realty, inviting you to take a look at this beautifully maintained four-bedroom, two-bath home featuring AC, a newer roof, and hot water heater. The inviting kitchen offers an island, abundant storage, and a walk-in pantry. A convenient main-level laundry allows for easy single-level living. Ideally situated at 1430 Omar near Mavrakis Pond and the walking path. List price is just $385. To take a look at this property, contact me, Lisa Hansen, at 307-763-3964.
Wyoming winters don't ask for permission. They just show up with snow, ice, and wind that finds every weak spot in your roof. Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors knows Wyoming weather, and we will make sure your home is ready before the worst of it arrives. With metal roofs, impact-resistant shingles, built to withstand Wyoming weather. Plus, we work with your insurance company to take the hassle out of your hands. Your home is protected when it matters most. Call us today for your free inspection or visit Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, Branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Can you run heavy equipment, including motor, grader, and backhoe? Do you have knowledge of gravel and proper road grades? Sheridan County Road and Bridge Division is hiring a full-time district operator. Job benefits include medical, dental, eye care, life insurance, retirement, vacation, sick leave, and paid holidays. Find out more at the Sheridan County website. Email resume and cover letter to humanresources@SheridanCountyWY.gov or mail to 224 South Main, Suite B1 today. Let's talk about tires. Think about the snowy, icy roads ahead, and now think about your current worn tires. How safe does that make you feel? Well, lucky for you, Midas Tire and Auto has big savings on tires this month. Buy three tires, get one half off, plus consumer rebates from popular brands like Bridgestone, Cooper, and Michelin. Additional rebates up to $200 on select Cooper and Toyo tires. You'll also get peace of mind knowing your tires are back with the Midas Lifetime Guarantee. Getting and keeping you safely on the road. Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, we are joined by the Executive Director of the Downtown Sheridan Association, Zoila Perry, and DSA Promotions and Marketing Committee Chair, Michaela Heath. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
And just real quick, I want to publicly congratulate Michaela on an event that happened in August. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Zoila, as the season is beginning to wrap up,
yes,
how would you describe this year's event lineup for the DSA?
Oh, man, it was fabulous. I mean, it was, I'm speechless with the amount of turnout that we had at Third Thursday this year. I wasn't expecting it. I mean, we always do a good job putting those events on. But when every single month our vendor booths are sold out, mm-hmm. We have food trucks that are in a waiting line because we can't get them in. And then the amount of people that we have coming to the event, it is just been great. I mean, September, normally it's a lot, not as many attendees, just because it's cold, you know, it's fall. School has started by then. It gets cooler. And so normally our numbers typically have been a lot lower, but this year it just seemed to be a lot busier than August.
It's almost like people were looking forward to fall a little bit more this year, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, my food vendors, I had one that did over 300 orders that night.
That's amazing.
In September. So when I hear those stories, it really brings me joy because it's all of our community, right? Our community's coming down, supporting our vendors, but then also checking out what we have going on downtown. So this is just part of keeping the heart of downtown alive.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to Third Thursdays, you know, it's an event that everybody looks forward to so much. Mm-hmm. I hear about it from other people all the time. Hey, I'm going to be there. Are you going to be there? I mean, it's just constant back and forth. I've got a friend who goes down there and he just wants to pop in, pop out, but he can't. He's like, I'm going to see 50 people I know before I get to the first booth.
Oh, yes.
And he's right. I mean, it's almost like a great way to just go down and catch up with everybody that you know. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a really friendly event. Now, Sheridan Uncorked, another local favorite. How did this year's wine festival turn out?
I think, well, of course, I'm very biased. A little because biased, it's, but okay. It's our event, right?
Hey, I asked.
I mean, I felt like it was a really good turnout. We did things a little bit different this year in regards to our caterer. Normally, we have one catering company that does the whole food. And this year we had different food stations. And so we were able to highlight Frackleton's, the wandering chef, a private chef that comes into our community quite frequently, especially during the summer. Maxwell Foster, he got to be highlighted. And then we had Java Moon and then the cake chick. And so they're more of a dessert type where people may not know or may not have not tasted a moon pie before.
Oh, that
was
amazing.
Their opportunity to try one. But in regards to that, it was good. I mean, the wine from what I heard was good. Of course, I didn't partake in that part.
Too busy, right?
I was too busy, but I did partake in the food and it was amazing.
I'll tell you, you know, you bring up those moon pies. My wife will buy me one every once in a while. She just sneaks it home. And, it's life-changing. Life-changing. What about next year? Do you guys have a date so that we can say the
yes,
date now?
It is September 12th.
And the community response was fantastic from what I hear. A lot of people ended up over there.
Yeah.
Not too many tickets left over.
We also had a photo booth this year, which was pretty cool. So we had like a little backdrop and we had the Sheridan photo booth come in and people were doing some awesome pictures. I didn't publish it, all of them, but I did publish some because people did have some fun with that.
That's fantastic. Another thing that the DSA does, the flowers downtown.
Yes.
Looking incredible this summer.
Yes. Oh my goodness. It's been in my 10 years, I don't recall within like the last 5 years of how beautiful they were this summer. Every time I drove downtown every morning coming in from home to my office, I just got memorized. I mean, Evan Jones did our flowers. He watered the flowers all season long. And he's got that green thumb that they were just stunning, stunning, stunning.
Some people just make plants and flowers better by being near them, right?
Yes.
Like you've got those individuals who constantly say, I could buy anything, take it home, and it'll end up dying no matter what I do.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
That's why she doesn't water.
And then you've got those individuals who are like, oh, I haven't touched that flower in a month. And you're like, why is it so alive?
Yeah.
If, you know, they just have a gift. And so that's fantastic. Is he going to continue to
do this? I hope so. You know, whether he and his brother take it on next summer, we will talk about those details. Normally, I haven't asked yet. It's too early to ask. I mean, I know from experience watering the flowers that it does get to be burned out. I mean, you're doing it every single day, and that's another trick that he does. You know, he gives them water every day, not just every other day, but every day. So our flowers did come down on Saturday. They were originally planned to come down the Sunday before, but we had the lovely rain, and I wasn't going to put the flowers down in the rain. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's not
going outside.
Oh, no.
There's water falling from the sky.
Yes. But our flowers are down for the season, and we'll go ahead and get them up again in May.
All right. You know, and I'll tell you what, it's one of those things where if you're not looking up, maybe you didn't look at the flowers directly this year, but if they weren't there, you'd notice.
Yes.
It's one of those things where if they didn't show up, it would just feel so bare down there. And moving on down the line, tell us about the Range Give Thanks program.
Yeah.
Java Moon's donation.
Yeah. So Java Moon, through the Range program, donated $250, and that will go directly to the flowers.
Oh, fantastic.
You know, our flower program is it's very expensive, especially when you're talking about we buy new soil every year. We buy fertilizer. We have to pay Evan to water the flowers. And then the flowers itself. So it does get to become, you know, up to a $10,000 expense every year.
My goodness.
Just kind of depending on how many hours we're watering and how long, right? So this June, it wasn't too bad. But I mean, like last year, we kind of saved a little bit of money because it rained. But this year, we had some really nice hot days.
Oh,
so
it was really hot.
He really took his time. And that's the other key. He takes his time. Getting those water, getting the flowers, plenty of water.
He cares about them.
He does.
I mean, it shows when you care about something.
Yeah.
Now, who helps you go out and take those down? That can't be just a quick job.
No. So this year we were able to get, well, of course, it, the DSA board, but then also one of my board members reached out to the FFA and they sent out some kids and they were able to help us. So, it could take us between 2 to 2.5 hours. This year it took us 1.5 hours.
We had
plenty of help, which always is so appreciative. And we store our baskets right next door to the office, but it's upstairs. So I failed to take a picture of this, but it was pretty cool because you had an assembly line. So everybody was like at different steps on the stairs up to go to the stairs.
Uh-huh.
I mean, to the room upstairs. And you just had an assembly line. So everybody was passing on the baskets, you know. It was really cool to see.
And it's actually, I mean, that seems really simple. But when you're watching something like that be executed, you're like, why don't we all just do things this way? You're like, this is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we also had Highland Inc. Bring in one of their dump trailers and Perry Builders brought in their dump trailer. That way we can dump all the soil and flowers and then just haul them back to the office and go from there.
You mentioned a couple different organizations that helped out from this. From your perspective, executive director of the DSA, when you look at these community partnerships, how vital are they to the DSA and the DSA's mission?
They're like 100% vital to us. I mean, if it wasn't for their in-kind donations of having a truck and trailer to be able to pull that, we would have to rent one, right? So, I mean, that's more money out of our pocket for our flowers. But then also just the volunteering part of it where it would have taken us a long time. Mm-hmm. So as the director, and I mean, Michaela knows from experience that she used to be part of that too, is the staff would end up doing it. So it makes it a little bit harder on our part that we just to get through the whole entire day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it took us 1.5 hours this on Saturday. But if we didn't have those volunteers, we would be there till 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So for us, we're just thankful that they're pitching in and helping with that.
You know, I watched two individuals over the course of hours because it was an assignment that I had from a newspaper. And it was just two of them from their DSA. It's a very small town. And holy cow. They were great people. But that started to look difficult after about hour two. You're like, my goodness, man. Some extra hands would really pay off here. All right. Now, speaking of fantastic events, one of my favorite coming up. Michaela, let's turn to the Main Street Monster Mash. This is probably... I'm so glad this is back because the little ones out there in all their different costumes, it's just so cute to see. How's this year's event shaping up?
Fantastic. I mean, you're not the only one who has this event as their favorite. We also love planning it and just getting ready for it. And as usual, we're hoping that it's bigger and better than the previous year. And so far, that's the direction that we're heading. We're expecting more kids downtown, which is why we're thrilled to be closing Main Street this year to create a safer event for the kids and their families. We don't have to worry about cars driving by as kids are running around super excited. So we'll be closing Main Street and Grinnell Plaza from 8 a.m. to noon on Saturday. Oh my gosh.
October 25th.
October 25th. Thank you. Goodness gracious. I like can't believe that it's almost here.
I know.
Crazy.
It's right around the corner, right?
Yeah, we're like in the middle of October already. Mm-hmm. Fine.
Just like Christmas, I'm that guy who's like, oh, it's already, what, the 13th, and I haven't even thought about a Halloween costume. I don't even have an idea what I'm going to do.
Well, we're taking bets on what the most popular costume is going to be this year.
Ooh, what do you got?
Well, we're talking K-pop Demon Hunters.
Oh, that's a big one. I got nephews and nieces who absolutely love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, you know what? I think you might be right. What about you, Zoila?
I don't know. I'm like, I don't know. We'll see. I mean,
superheroes are always a classic.
Superheroes,
right?
Are always good. I mean, little kids like Disney, so we'll see some of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like Michaela said, I think the K-pop. I haven't seen that show, so I don't know.
Oh, me either.
I need to like get
your
up
little
to
ones
speed.
Aren't so little anymore.
Well, mine watched it, and I haven't seen it, so I need to be in that. So I do agree with that.
Yeah, you might want to sit down and watch it just so you can identify the characters as they're all walking down the street this year.
Yes.
You know, that's a really good one, Michaela. I think that's going to be fantastic. And there is going to be a Halloween costume contest, right?
Yeah, there is.
That's fun. Can you walk us through this?
Yeah, absolutely. So 10 o'clock, kids can come down to Grinnell Plaza right in front of City Hall for our costume contest. So we have a couple different divisions. We have infant to 2-year-olds. 3 to 5-year-olds, 6 to 8-year-olds, and then 9 to 12-year-olds. And then they all, first place gets a prize.
Now, when it comes to who's going to be handing out candy, is there a way that we can identify which businesses will and which businesses are not participating?
Yeah, absolutely. So this year there's going to be a black cat placed on the door or the window of the businesses that are participating.
You got it.
And then we're also going to have a couple of our retailers set up on Grinnell who have businesses on their side streets.
Yep.
We don't want to divert that way since we're not closing those streets. So they'll have a booth set up on Grinnell or just around the enclosed area.
Is there going to be like a, hey, start from here and go that way? Or is it just show up downtown and go for it?
It's kind of a free-for-all. We're really encouraging people not to start until 10:30 because that's when businesses are encouraged to start handing out candy. So that way we can get through the costume contest and then kind of send them all on their way at the same time. So 10:30 is the start time for trick-or-treating. No rhyme or reason, no particular direction. It's kind of just whatever direction you want to go.
Now, last year we kind of brought this event back from the grave, mm-hmm. in a way. Was there anything that you decided from last year to change or, hey, lesson learned, let's go ahead and tighten this up or loosen it up? Anything like that?
Yes, the first one was safety. So that's why we decided to apply to close the street down because we saw how many kids. I mean, we had over 1,000 people downtown.
Amazing.
You know, with their kids. But then the other thing was we ran out of candy. So soon. So we just, because some businesses were giving out candy earlier, because if they open at 7 or 8 o'clock, they're going to give out candy, right? Because people are coming downtown before they go to the Halloween contest. So this year we said, we're saying 10:30 sharp. We're going to do that. And the other one, what was the other thing we learned? There was 3 things. I forgot. I get all
as long as safety
crazy.
Is number one.
Yeah,
I'm good
safety
to go.
Was number one. And then the candy for sure.
Now, I don't have very long with you, but the Fulmer Library has started a fall fest that kicks off right after your Monster Mash. From what I hear, those work really, really well together. Have you guys had conversations about kind of meshing those?
We talked about it earlier last month and just basically because they had heard we were going to do it at like a different time. And I said, no, we're still doing it at the same time. And we're going to really encourage people to go down to the library after our event.
That's fantastic.
On that.
I mean, that's just a great big Halloween celebration for the little ones. You know, much different from when I was a little kid.
Yes.
Where you just kind of headed off into the dark on your own.
Yes.
You know, it's good. It's just a lot safer. I would say, you know, it kind of eases up the door-to-door later on because you only want those little ones to have so much candy.
We do. And another thing that I just recalled, the third thing we learned is that, you know, this event is really about the business owners. I mean, mm-hmm. we talked about it and we don't want it to get as big as Third Thursday, like adding vendors and all that kind of stuff. This is, we want to keep it traditionally just kind of a safe for the businesses.
And, you know, being a business owner during this time, that's got to be so fun.
Yeah.
The little ones popping in, you get to see all the costumes. And I mean, it would just be great to kind of be a business owner at this time, handing out candy while everyone's having such a great time. And I think it's fantastic that you've touched base with the Fulmer, because this just makes it a full day's events just to get out there with the family and really use those costumes. It's not just on and off in an hour or two. I mean, go play in it, right?
Yes.
Go have a good time. All right. Now, one more time, real quick, before I wrap up, who are your candy and event sponsors helping make the Monster Mash possible?
Yeah, absolutely. Our golden sponsors this year are Java Moon, Kona Ice, and Walgreens. So thank you to them for providing our businesses extra candy. So our businesses provide candy, but they give us the opportunity to provide them a little bit more. And then our jack-o'-lantern friends, our Kid Curious, and the Chocolate Tree.
And thank you very much, folks, you know, for helping to kind of make this event so great. Once again, the streets are going to be closed for safety this year, so get on out there, have a good time. I want to thank you both so much for popping in here and talking with me this morning. It was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930K, are we? And 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
When it comes to orthopedic care, experience matters. At Sheridan Orthopedic Associates, our team of board-certified specialists brings decades of trusted expertise to every diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and recovery plan. From sports injuries to joint replacements, Sheridan Orthopedics offers both surgical and non-surgical care tailored to your needs right here in your community. Choose the team that physicians and families have trusted for generations. Learn more about our team of experts at SheridanOrtho.com. Sheridan Orthopedics, expertise you can count on.
Hey, it's Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's. Think of me as your host for the night, opening the door, setting the tone, and making sure everything flows just right. Our server team is dedicated to making your dining experience exceptional. They're not just order takers, they're matchmakers, pairing you with flavors, cocktails, and moments you'll love. Every detail, every time, because great food is just the beginning. Book your table early at Frackleton's.com. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan.
Enjoy homemade soups every day at Designing Dinners. Sagewood North Cafe, served with cheese wedges and fresh bread, or pair it with one of their signature sandwiches like the Dill Cotto, smoked turkey, avocado, sprouts, red onion, seasoned dill pepper, and mayo. Designing Dinners, Sagewood North Cafe. See menus at designing-dinners.com. Open weekdays for lunch from 11 till 3 and from 9 to 5 for dinner pickup at 615 Broadway in Sheridan. Call 674-2460 for pickup.
This public service announcement brought to you by Atlas Chiropractic. Your healing begins when you pick up the phone.
This is Finn Bittner from Critters Crafts and Cooking Club. This week, Sheridan County celebrates National 4-H Week. 4-H helps young people build skills, friendships, and community pride. Ready to make a difference? Learn more about 4-H clubs and projects by visiting Sheridan County Extension website or calling 307-674-2980.
See you there.
From Billings to Buffalo, this is the News Talk Station, FM 103.9 and 930 AM KROE.
KROE.